with state law, so we're going to do that in addition to how we normally do things. What's that? Yeah. It does. It does. And I am hoping that I don't have to get too much into that just because our attendance tends to be slim, but if there's a lot of people, I'll probably put it to, what do you guys do in council, John? 2 minutes, 3 minutes? So 5 minutes? I'll do five. Let them go. Let you go? What do you think, Jake? Let them go. Okay. Until I have a reason to start putting limits on, I'm not going to. I don't think we're going to have that much anyway. Yeah, we want to hear it. I want to hear the point. That's a different time. Right. Yeah, if it gets weird, I might ask a question like, you got a point, right? Hope that doesn't get me in too much trouble. So what we're going to talk about, the big thing is home occupations, is what Ann had it titled. Our current code was done in 1995. A few years ago, the Planning Commission worked with the city to rezone zoning throughout the whole city. These guys know this, but Jake, I'm giving you the history on this. And we had areas that we wanted to come back to. This was one of the areas we wanted to come back to, revisit, and make sure that we've cleaned up the code adequately. Now, the reason why we've been doing this is our code book, as John will tell you, used to be, what, about that thick? And I think we got it down to, what, about here now? It's something like that. We reduced quite a bit to try to make it simpler, easier, and consistent across the board. What had happened with what we felt happened with the code in reviewing it was we had a lot of exceptions that ended up becoming rules, but then they didn't really get rid of why they made the exception. So there was all sorts of, it wasn't consistent. And that's what we wanted to bring, consistency and fairness across the board to everybody. So another step in that. In 1995, the city had adopted the current code that they have. I'm going to quickly read staff's comments on this. Staff looked for examples of more modern home occupation codes, but they
proved. Will now be recorded.
Oh. Yep, perfect. I was about to say, did I blow it by starting this? They found it pretty hard to find. Many of the codes are very similar, but there are some slight differences, which we'll kind of talk about. We're going to talk about what's unique for maybe Othello. In Anne's opinion, she felt a lot of it was unnecessarily wordy and bureaucratic. And I really wanted Anne here to just highlight the fact that she said it was unnecessarily wordy and bureaucratic, so I could hold that over her head in the future. But I guess I'll have to wait for a formal meeting to do that. Staff is in favor of something shorter and simpler in the regulations, kind of like what we've done throughout the city in our current way of addressing code. There are a number of charts we're going to kind of run through really quickly, and some different circumstances. People who got and contacted a number of city planners and got their codes and had long discussions with them. Anna Cordes is planning manager. They just redid their code, and it's nice. That's one of the ones we're going to review. It's similar to our code, but unlike our code, it doesn't really have exemption, different business types that are defined and explained, and we'll go through some of this in a little bit. It just has really good code, and if it fits within that, it's allowed. If it doesn't, it's not allowed at the discretion of review from the city planner. It's like, okay, that's going to fit, no problem. Marysville, theirs was a little more interesting, and it was a little more inclusive. It has aspects that we won't put in ours. And those aspects are auto repair because of noise. It would be potentially contradictory. Firearm sales, which also are contradictory to what's allowed in the city. And home-based veterinarians, to give examples. That worked pretty well in Marysville, but with their population of 71,000 and how spread out that population is versus the 2 mile square Othello, where you can go just a little bit out of town to be able to engage in those services or go to a commercial area. Cedro Woolley was also one of the ones that gave us a lot of input, and why theirs was one we paid a lot of attention to, and we will pay a lot of attention to, is the number of applicants per week that they get for home-based businesses. There are a population of 12,330. You know, we are getting to that level. And they have an average of 20 applications a week for home-based businesses. So we thought we better pay attention to what's going on there and some of the things that they're going through, just in case we go through the same thing. Spokane Valley was another one that gave us a lot of input. And again, in their case, it was what they did, which was really unique, was they had so many more occupations available. So they actually helped us develop our list. So if we're going to get to a long list of occupations maybe tonight. And that's a lot of that came from Spokane Valley, which had so many that they defined to make sure whatever we do can fit a lot of opportunities. So that's a little background on some of this stuff. I guess what I'm going to ask the audience, the way I saw this happening was I found that the only problem I had with our code, and Bob, you might have seen this too, was, again, I didn't like the allowed, I didn't think there were the allowed businesses and the disallowed or the banned businesses showed a lot of consistency across the board in application. Case in point, our code does not allow for a beautician to have a setup in their house where most of them do. And, you know, if somebody lives within a house, is a beautician and wants to open a small, you know, small client, I'm having trouble seeing why that's a problem and how that we could make any code that would disallow that and allow things like massage. Doesn't make sense to me. So I didn't like that list of disallowed. I just found it inconsistent, and I wondered maybe where that came from. I think so. What I thought would probably be the best thing is to make really good code, make sure it holds water against as many business types as we can come up with that could be applicable and make sense, and make sure that the things that maybe we don't want happening in residential areas are also managed by that code, because there's some things we might want to do that. And so what I thought might be the best approach here would be develop the code, the rules of the code, the generalized as we compare them to other cities where we go, yeah, that would be helpful, yeah, that might not be, yeah, that would helpful, that might not be, exclude, include, make a code, and then weigh it against what occupations could exist. And ultimately, have a code that doesn't have particular occupations.
I would be opposed to listing and prohibited ones.
Which ones, off the top of your head, would you, are we able to put up Othello's current code? And go through the list of allowed and disallowed? Which ones are you think, I just wanted to have people see a list of, what are you thinking, Bob, would be the ones you're concerned of? Just so make sure we can maybe cover it within our code.
I'd like to make sure we got, you know, like, the adult retail establishment, adult bookstore, some of that, I'd like to leave that in, or add that in, because that's not in our code yet, but I'd like to add it to our Othello code.
So to make sure that particular retail activities probably shouldn't be done in commercial zones, that being one of them?
Yeah.
If we're concerned about client, about number of clients and visits within a residential area, I'm not sure we should allow any but specialized retail. I don't think retail should be allowed at all, and that appears on the number. I thought that was a good way of doing it without saying adult bookstores were, I'd rather just say outright.
Well, that might work too. I mean, but I like the part on some of the codes where it says that the only customer that can come has to be by appointment, and they can only be one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's a lot of things I like, and I think some of these are a lot easier on right now.
Correct. Maybe it'd be better instead of putting Othello's code up. Can we put up page to start with? Let's put page 9 of the pamphlet.
One thing we don't have is the hours of operation.
That's one of the things I had on my list.
Yeah, I mean, so that's what it is. And if we add just an order, it's just one client at a time. And we put by appointment and list the hours of operation.
No, I think there's not much to do. There's just some tweaking. Fantastic. Just to explain what is on our code, I think, too, we got to clean up the first part of this code. I think it's too much, too wordy. The first part of the Othello code is, a home occupation means any endeavor conducted for financial gain or profit in a dwelling unit where the endeavor is not generally characteristic of activities of which dwelling units, you can tell why we want to get rid of some of the wordy bureaucracy already, can't you? Dwelling units are intended or designed, provided that endeavors where the only activities include the receipt of mail, the use of a telephone, the occasional commercial delivery of goods and materials not inconsistent with such vehicular traffic in residential neighborhoods are not considered home occupations subject to permitting requirements under this title. To be defined as a home occupation, the occupation or activity must, one, be carried on entirely within the residence of the occupants, must be clearly incidental to the use of the residence, so it's not a business first, it's a house first, must not change the residential character of the dwelling, must not conduct in such a manner as to not give onward appearances nor manifest any characteristic of a business in the ordinary meaning of that term, and five, must not infringe upon the right of the neighboring residents to enjoy peaceful occupancy for their homes for which the purpose of the residential zone was created as the primary intent. I can't see why Ann wants to cut that language out. Yeah, right. Little wordy, Jake. Yeah. It gets confusing for me after about one sentence.
Just from my understanding, books and crafts, anything like that?
You can, but not a billboard. So I'll get to that. I won't worry about the, how you apply, but you have to apply with the city. What's that?
I think that, I'm not opposed to what you just read.
But it can be done a lot better. Anacortes does it way better. Incorporated.
Yeah.
Yep. All what you said needs to be incorporated, but it doesn't have to be incorporated, I think, that way. Yep. Yeah, I agree with you that it's okay there. I don't like how, where this gets split up. I'm going to move away from the, what you were talking about, Jake. What is allowed, and we'll talk about this as it compares to other cities. Okay, participation for what is considered an at-home business. Did I say that one right? Home occupation. No persons other than the members of the family residing in the premises shall be engaged in such an application. So you're going to have to live there to work there by this definition. And that's pretty consistent with many cities. And we'll get to that. Floor area limitations. The use of the dwelling unit for the home occupation shall be clearly incidental and subordinate to its use for the residential in comparison to the residential purposes by its occupants, and no more than 30% of the floor area. So 60% of your house has to be dedicated to be in the house. 30% can be, and that, we'll compare to the other cities and see the wiggle room. Advertising, what you were talking about. This is what the current one is, and there's some room on this one. There shall be no change in the outside appearance of a building or premises, or other visible evidence of conduct of such home occupation other than one sign, not exceeding 1 square foot in area, non-illuminated, mounted flat against the wall of the principal building. That's an area we're going to have probably a little discussion on.
What about digital?
What's that?
What about digital?
Couldn't do digital, because it'll be illuminated. No, that doesn't mean we can't talk about that.
And then like internet.
Oh, digital? Anything. Wide open.
So if I take a photo of my house, Photoshop the digital sign on that picture, even though it's not digital.
So you sent it out into the digital? Totally fine. Totally fine. How you advertise that business, how you get people to participate is fine. But living within the living within a residential area, you want to try to keep things as residential. That part I like about this, where I don't know about the 1 square foot. 1 square foot sign is pretty small. I think that needs to get changed. But we got to be careful. You can't have so much signage. You don't want it. You want people to be able to find it. But you don't want it to be an eye catcher. If it's an eye catcher, maybe it needs to be on the cover. Maybe it needs to be a commercial property. Yeah, maybe. But we're going to talk about it. So, let's see. But I think bare minimum, 1 foot square foot is pretty small, and that's not consistent with other cities. Let's see. Getting back to. Accessory building use prohibited. Well, now that accessory building use is allowed in Othello, I think we're going to discuss that a little bit, and whether that is a possibility for these home occupations. Retail sales prohibited. This is probably an area we're also going to talk a little bit about. You know, again, what you brought up, Bob. Othello currently wouldn't allow, without defining it outright, because it says there shall be no retail sales of merchandise in connection with such home occupations. We're going to talk about that one a little bit. There might be a little wiggle room on that one. That makes sense. Traffic and parking restrictions. No traffic shall be generated by such home occupation in greater volumes than would normally be expected in residential neighborhoods, and any need for parking generated by the conduct of such home occupation shall be met off the street, other than required than in, other than in a required front yard. So you can't convert your front yard into parking for your business. Different beast. I mean, we have code for renters and what's required on that. That is one of the things that the city has made a commitment to. I'm going to go way off the reservation on this one, is to try to have as much off-street parking as possible so we don't clog our roads. So to do that, you got to have some regulation, some requirement for the amount of off-street parking. And that's, you know, in requirement both to the people living there and also in renters, also in accessory dwelling units. You know, we have those requirements in Othello.
What would that be towards the property?
Are you talking about for a business?
Well, both for residential living and maintenance.
So, so you're asking about the other supports, correct?
Yes, on both sides.
On all levels of it. I'm going to get to that. That's good. That's defined in just a little bit. So we just mentioned traffic. This is consistent on many ones. Hey, Brian, obviously we don't have a quorum. So we're going to do a quick workshop just to prep this stuff a little bit. And we're just going through kind of what Othello's code currently is and where we kind of fit in compared to everybody else. Yeah, you're fine. I just went ahead and started because I was there. You don't have this, so I'll hand it over to you after I'm done. Noise interference, no equipment or process shall be used in such home occupations which creates noise, vibration, glare, fumes, odor, or electrical interference detectable to the normal senses off the lot. If the occupation is, if the occupation is conducted in a single family residence or outside of the dwelling unit, if conducted in other than single family residence, in the case of electrical interference, no equipment or process shall be used which creates a visual or audible interference in any radio or television receivers off the premises or causes fluctuations in line voltage off the premises. This is in literally every code in every city. Well, obviously this has been a big problem where somebody starts something and maybe whatever they're using electrically interferes with the neighbor's television set or interferes with their radio transmissions, or now we don't get this or now we don't get that. Interestingly enough, when I lived on Olympia Street, when they put up the cell tower, I lost all my radio channels and no one cared. And I didn't know that I could complain about that, or I would have, because I used to listen to the music every morning in the shower. And then I got no radio channels. They all disappeared. Yeah, AT&T strikes again. I didn't know we had protection for that. Anyway, and then Othello lists out what is prohibited and what's not allowed. What I kind of talked about, Brian, is that in reviewing our code versus other people's code, which is what we're going to do next, we're pretty good. But there's some spots that are a little inconsistent. And I think a lot of that comes from definition of some of the allowed and not allowed businesses. So a lot of cities don't have that. Don't say this is allowed, this is not allowed. They instead just make really good code and does it fit the code. And I suggested that hopefully we could do that as opposed to but we're going to have to put it against our list of businesses to make that work. Does that sound reasonable? The good news is Othello's code is pretty consistent. There's just a couple of little spots. Anybody got anything they wanted to jump in with now before we start comparing to other cities?
Well,
our code versus? Nothing, Bob, yet? You're waiting on it, I can tell. You got... I'm gonna cheat and show all these things. I want you to laugh every time Bob mentions something on my list. There's gonna be a lot of laughing. Yeah, ours is on there, just quickly, the things I thought we were deficient, Bob, just so it's kinda on everyone's radar. I thought storage externally was one of the things. No transfer of home occupation permit was lacking. All regular businesses and licensed regular requirements, as you mentioned, that was not in our code before. So the issue you had of bringing everything up to standard should be part. So you could have your house be at standard, but your business wouldn't be. That didn't make much sense to me. So I thought that, if that's what you were talking about on that. Yeah, that is lacking in our code. It only appears in two other codes. So I thought that was one we should talk about. Shipping and receiving, expansion, and what were the requirements with expansion? It is. And well, there's other areas you could make expansion, and that's defined by some of the other codes. Working hours and client limits. And that appears in a lot of the different ones. Okay, so let's start on page 9 of comparison of Othello, Anacortes, East Wenatchee, Ephrata, Kennewick, Marysville, Moses Lake, Pasco, Pullman, Cedro Woolley, Spokane Valley, Wenatchee, and West Richland, the usual suspects. We typically, Jake, get a list of about 10 like-sized cities, a couple a little bigger, a couple a little smaller, so we can compare what we're doing and what we want to do versus what others are doing. So ours is entirely within the residence. Moses Lake is the only other one that has that on there, which surprised me. I think it gets defined other places in different areas when you compare it to like Anacortes and that. Well, that's one of the things. I mean, accessory building allowance definitely would change that. You probably can't have an auto repair anyway.
Yeah, but we've got to make sure that whatever we allow accessory building, we've got to make sure we prohibit what we don't want.
So what would we prohibit? I think auto repair should not be allowed in commercial, because I don't think it will fit noise. I don't think it'll fit smell. I don't think it fits our current code with the requirements. So noise in particular is going to be problematic with that, as well as deliveries, as well as removal of contaminants. I mean, all those things already would exist in the code. So besides something like that, can you think of any other ones? Do we want there's only two that require it to be within the residence, and does an ADU fit residence? Brian?
So what are we talking about? Business at a residence?
So you can have 30% coverage. 30%, you can only have 30% of your residence be a business, a home occupation. I said commercial and enterprise, and I got in trouble for that. but somebody a lot more expert than me on that. So Othello and Moses Lake are the only ones that require it to be within the primary residence. Think about it, come back to it. Let's think about it and come back to it. See if it maybe gets defined better later.
Are there any examples of?
Oh, now, I should have went to the next one, which was within dwelling or detached accessory structures in comparison. Othello does not allow that. In fairness, we only allowed ADUs recently. And Moses Lake doesn't allow that, but Anacortes, East Wenatchee, Ephrata, Kennewick, Marysville, Pasco, Spokane Valley, Wenatchee, and West Richland allow a detached building as an option for their business. It can only be the people living there. Well, it'd be also the primary residence. Because, so here's a question, Bob. This is a good one. All right, so I have my house. And I am, let's say, I'm a bookkeeper. And I don't have enough people coming through my place to get a commercial office. But I want to build an office off of my house. Detached, maybe attached. Following the ADU rules, which would cover all the parking and all that. Would that be okay or not? I think if you followed all the, if you put in a separate bathroom, if you made it to, I mean, I don't think you can make an accessory dwelling unless it was built to code and standard. John, am I wrong? So you have to build it to that standard. Correct. I think if you make a by code ADU, you probably can be able to run that business out of that. So what's the difference? Why shouldn't it? But if you're going to have the commercial activity, is the commercial activity going to happen in the workshop or the commercial activity going to happen in a different place? Right. I think the bandsaw, though, is going to run into a problem with the noise requirements that we mentioned earlier. It might not, but something major would. What do you think, Brian? Jake? It's going to get more exciting, isn't it? So, let me see. Oh, crud. I wish this was set up a different way. Okay, so Jake, I think we're going to talk about a little bit about what you say, where when is a home occupation really a home occupation. Now, if you have a workshop that you're building stuff and then selling it on the internet, I'm not sure that's a home occupation. I'm not sure that needs to get licensed and be done. And I think we're going to find a bunch of those that will not fit in definition of home occupation. Even though somebody might make $200,000 carving wood and selling it on the internet, if it's not generating traffic within a residence, if it's not generating noise, if it's not generating deliveries beyond what is normal and customary, is it really a home occupation by this definition? What do you think? Yes, no?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not a home occupation, not by this definition. John, am I blowing that one? What do you think, Brian?
My wife makes little
trinkets.
Yeah.
And sells them.
Sells them online.
She doesn't have to go get a business license.
Doesn't make any noise. Nobody's going to the house. I think that's just verbal.
So when we make this definition, we got to be able to define that difference. So if somebody's doing work in their workshop and selling their wares, somebody even doing metalwork, which I know happens, that should be okay. But when you have clients that come to your house, that might be a different line. Okay. Yeah, I think we're going to look for where that definition comes in. I'm writing that down in my notes. You guys all comfortable with that being the difference? I think so. I know, because all of a sudden it kind of went, I started, I was going down the rabbit hole. All right. So back to detached dwelling. Since we said some of these work, it's like a workshop, isn't really necessarily, so how about doing a business out of a detached dwelling? All right, how about this one? If we say it has to entirely be within the residence, does the ADU count as part of the residence? Hmm? No, but I'm talking about when it becomes a home occupation. If we say it has to be entirely within the residence and the people have an ADU and they decide that's where they're going to use their 30%, is that okay? So we'd be better off by remaining with entirely within the residence than having any definition of detached or non-detached.
Yeah, but unless you want to allow it in a shed, I can see that. You want to allow it in a shed.
What, a business?
Yeah,
well, we can't. It's going to be entirely within the residence. 30%.
But no shed.
Not for a home occupation. You could have that, but you can't sell them in the workshop.
No, I understand that. But the bandsaw, only carved with figurines or whatever.
Right.
That doesn't mean that there's any water in it. It doesn't mean a shed. If the only owner can do anything, you can go to the house.
But I'm going to use Jake's example. You could sell those anywhere. That doesn't make it necessarily a home occupation. When you start selling them out of your house, that's where the line gets drawn. We're going to have to work on that, you know, what defines that. But I think where the line gets crossed is when you have clients coming into and how many clients come into. Yeah. Well, we'll talk. Employees will get there. I'm not excited about employees either, because I think that starts where that's where we're going to have a little discussion about when is a commercial activity or really a commercial activity, when's it a home occupation? It's probably going to come in employees. That's where it's going to get interesting. So the next item is non-resident employees. Well, Othello does not allow currently non-resident employees. Neither does Anacortes. Neither does Moses Lake, Cedro Woolley, or West Richland. This is going to be a 50-50. Was Pasco 02? Pasco as well. Sorry, missed Pasco. East Wenatchee allows one non-resident employee. Ephrata allows one non-resident employee. Kennewick allows one temporary or irregular employee during the first 18 months. What the heck is that? That's tough to define, and now that makes it harder. That one's basically zero. I'm with you on that. This is to me an interesting one. Pullman allows one except in building trades similar to building trades where you have a lot of employees that don't work on the premises. So basically you have a home office who is sending out like a construction, and people come to the home office to do whatever business they need to do, but the workers, they're not housed. That's not where they do the work. They do the work somewhere else. You know, contract work, subcontract work, but the home base is within a home. That is allowed in Pullman. That one's kind of a little bit more interesting to me. As I'm surprised it's the only one who has that exemption, because you would think that would happen a lot. Am I missing something, Bob? On that just that one? And then there's two allowed in Spokane Valley, one in Wenatchee. I just can't believe there's only one of those that, because you could see that happening where, you know, you have a home office that's where you go to, you know, clients go to book whatever they want, and then. Well, it looks like they have this under construction trade is how they do it. And they have to have the amount, it looks like what? They have to have one additional parking space required when non-resident employees works on the premise. I don't even know what that means. I just found that one is could you be somebody who's a subcontractor? Yeah, help me out here, John. That's what I think too.
So a lawyer wants to, you know, open a practice, so he hangs a shingle out on his front porch. He's not going to do the secretarial work himself. He's going to have a secretary in the house who will handle the bookings and the appointments and write up his paperwork and stuff for him. So that's an outside employee, non-resident of the home. He'll probably be the guy living in the home. Now, if he has an alley, she can park back in the alley, or if she can pour out her car in the driveway, off the street, you know, that's accommodated. A hair salon, where
might have a recept.
Where one person has a chair. You know, I don't see bringing in another hairstylist to actually participate in that business. So that would be a one employee shop.
But wouldn't that one employee live in the house already?
Yes.
So then my question still becomes, what should we do with employees? Is it still got to be the people who live in the house, or do you allow an additional?
No, not necessarily. Like I gave you an example, there could be an RNP, a nurse.
Yep.
They wanted to hang her shingle out. And she needed.
Mm-mm. I don't think that's one of those ones that's like borderline. Because I think you're going to have more staff than that just to do sterilization and need more room. So I'm not sure nurse practitioner could pull it off. I'll give you one though. The one that gets me, daycare.
Are associated to a clinic or
Right.
Hospital. So if they have to do the procedures, they do them there. They just do consultations and exams.
So they might need one more, in that case, they might need one more employee.
Yes, to do records and things like that.
Well, the one that gets me, John, daycare. Daycare, I think, you know, you are limited to six, but if you allow one more employee, then you can have 12 kids.
Well, I think if you're going to have a business at a home, you still need a business license. And so your business license is going to declare what type of business you're going to run at the house. So somehow you've got to tie it to the business license.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, some of this might define itself. I think at this point, though, we can probably say, again, rough drafting, we're probably looking at one employee, non-resident, at the most.
But it works in bigger cities with a much denser population. I mean, people park two blocks away and walk to the company. It's in a business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to. I mean, that's currently in our code, because you have to have that. So.
I don't think that's an issue. I don't really think off-street parking would be required.
It's because we do it in everything else.
It, maybe for an employee, there would have to be a parking spot for an employee, but not for the customer.
It might be, just because of look at it in every application. Boy, what if the person is renting and has cars there? It's basically, well, I guess this is the thing I look at. This is the question. And this is the one I'm kind of struggling with. We're going to skip ahead to parking, it looks like. But I, you know, we've always strived to have off-street parking. That has been one of our goals. And if you drive around Othello, very few people have very much parking left on their houses. So and that might be okay right now with everything that we have, because we do have, like I said, decent code already that allows home occupations. Maybe we're fine in that regard. But should there be a dedicated amount, if you have a home occupation, for your clients to park? And is that somewhat self-limiting in the type of activities that go on in those home occupations? So not only do you use it as it gets people off the street, it doesn't clog things up too much, but it becomes somewhat self-limiting in the type of activities that you can have. I mean, of course, not having any parking might be self-limiting, too.
I wouldn't allow any retail.
Any what?
Any retail.
I agree. I think retail. Okay, the only retail I'm going to recommend would be, let's say, like you have a beauty salon, and you have support items that go with the beauty salon, like shampoos, soaps. Massage parlors have stuff that they sell. Massage parlors. Massage therapy has stuff that they sell, like earwax.
The primary business is not a retail business.
That's right. So you could retail.
It's a service-oriented business.
And you could sell retail in support of the service only.
Yeah.
No other additional. But you don't want to exclude the ability, I think, for a beauty salon to sell shampoo. Yeah, so I think we can make that exception, and it is done.
But I'm talking about a full-blown retail outlet, like
too many people.
Somebody wants to open up a consignment store for selling clothing or something like that.
In a commercial area, or in a residential
area,
because it's going to have probably too many clients for the circumstance as well. And as Bob brought up, he doesn't want adult bookstores. Well, you hate to define adult bookstores, because that can get yourself into a lawsuit, but because then you're discriminatory against a certain type of business, which nobody wants to be. However, it doesn't make sense to have a lot of retail in a commercial zone because of the amount of clients. So you don't have to pick on one type of business. It's across the board. I like consistency across the board too. Even though I might find something myself personally, something I don't want to have as my neighbor, I'm not okay with just picking on that one person.
Well, like dog grooming.
Hmm?
Like dog grooming, pet grooming. You know, as long as the dogs or the pets will not be nuisance to the neighborhood.
Noise is going to be your issue.
Yeah, so it's a drop off pickup business. We're not holding it.
Service.
Yeah.
Is it really that much different than massage therapy? It's currently banned in Othello. This is what drives me nuts on some of ours. You know. Well, you know what else is not allowed? I don't think daycare is allowed.
What?
Look at it. By definition of what's banned. And I'm like, well, we're gonna have to fix that because you can't make that banned. Well, that's the state law trumps it. But it's one of the things that's on the edge. That's why I don't want
to.
Right. Yeah, I saw that too. When I first saw that, that's the one that made me go, what? Anyway, so looking at non-resident rough draft, one. Might be a better change for Othello or zero? Keep it the same?
For employment.
One. I don't hate one. You know, like I said, the I think that the business occupation is John, by doing that, do you have somebody potentially run a business, hire somebody to run a business in their house for you? Does that create that circumstance or do we not care? Don't care? As long as it fits the business type. The only thing I can think of is I have space for therapy massage, and I'm not a massage therapist, so I hire a massage therapist to run therapy out of my house.
Because you're not participating in the service.
So.
What if the non-residential employee, what if they have three of them that they're all remotely, be it by phone or by telecom? Could they do that?
Could they do telecom? If
I think one person there,
I think that what I like, first off, I do like what John says, I hear what you're saying, but I think to be a true home occupation, to be that, you probably have to involve the people who live there. I think once you start, this is where things are going to get interesting. This is what's going to help us. And at what point does a home occupation become a commercial activity? And that's why I wanted to challenge John with the one employee, just because I think we need to define that really to be a home occupation, you got to have somebody who lives in the residence involved in the home occupation. So what maybe we should have is you can have one non-resident in addition to a resident of the property. And you still get two or three. Heck, you could have four employees if they live in the house. You know, if it's a family that does it. So you could still do the telecommunication you're talking about. But if you have four people and none of them live in the house, you better go buy a commercial property and start your business. Yeah, I think that actually works pretty good. What do you think, Ryan? So you can have one employee in addition to the resident, but not without. I like that. I don't see that anywhere either. I am going to write that down. So my pen doesn't work. Ooh, thank you. Well, that's what I'm saying, but we just said that you have to have. You can have one in addition to, you can only do it if, in addition to. You can have a non-resident, you can have a non-resident employee if you have residential. Yeah. So it would, and how you define it is one non-resident in addition to residential staff.
So you guys basically, you've got to put something together as a group. And then when you do put something together as a group, have a public hearing on it.
Yep.
With the public being involved.
Yep.
And then if you make your changes based on what the public has to say, make it bring it to the city council and the city council board.
Does it go to council if it's a code? With all our people, totally.
With everybody here, or give it to them as an assignment to bring it back to a full court.
So.
And then come up with a document that can be
right.
presented to the public first, discussed with the public, and then brought to the council once approval's been given.
Right. Right now I am, yeah.
And really, you need to get your guys' minds together, come up with something that you think will fit with public.
Well, the, what
that
I'm...
will fit with public.
Yes.
Not a big city, you know, not a smaller city, but with public. And what we have in our community that we accommodate or not accommodate.
Absolutely. Well, we don't have a quorum, so we couldn't do it today. But what I wanted to do was, and what I'm finding just by doing this, and maybe Brian, you're seeing that too, is you're right. Right now, I am throwing darts at a dartboard. But I'm going to be able to make it.
I don't like a lot of choices. Personally, I don't like a lot of choices. I don't like a lot of options. I don't like to think, you know, about what if this, what if that. Let's set up a base that everybody would have to accommodate.
But we have that base in the current code. The challenge that was presented to us is that code adequate and consistent?
Today,
and I challenge it is not consistent.
Today versus what it was when it was set up.
1995. That it's not consistent even on the definitions. Yep. And that there may be some things from outside. So what I was hoping is I can make the dartboard a heck of a lot smaller when I have a quorum, because I'm already seeing how this was set up for me to present this wasn't right. So I'm just, I'm shrinking the dartboard right now.
In just the last 20 years.
Right.
Which puts you at 2002, you know, the last 20 years, there's been a lot
of change.
Home occupations.
But it's not just that. It's what Jake said. We have changed the marketplace, and the home occupations fit into that. But beyond that, there is an entrepreneurial spirit which exists in this community. And we got to make sure it is nurtured, and we have to make sure it has opportunity, but it can't infringe on your neighbors. That's the hard thing. Yes.
They don't even go to an office. They work for a major company and they sit at a computer at home.
Yeah, but if you work for Google at home, you are not a home occupation.
No.
You're doing Google's work at home.
No, but there are consultants that work from home.
So See, if Jake wants to start a business tomorrow in his house and it fits definition, I want to encourage that. You know, I want him to have that opportunity, that he can do that. But we got to be careful it doesn't tick off the neighbors next door. Because then we're going to have a lot of issues and problems. Because then when is their rights being infringed upon? That's got to matter too. You know, it's how putting all the ingredients in the sandwich. Sometimes I hang lettuce out the side, so I hate doing that because it drips on you. So I'm trying to get rid of the lettuce right now. And like I said, when we do have the whole group, this is going to be totally different. But would have been nice to have Alma here, but. Yeah. Well, what I'm hoping though is just from our discussion, I can give some guidance to Ann on how we need to do this differently, so that we can get something by next meeting, which I do think is very reasonable to do. Instead of, like I said, throwing darts at the dartboard right now, making that dartboard real small, and getting things kind of, like, for example, you know, the residential, you know, one employee in addition to a residential, that's actually kind of a pretty big deal. And I can now send Ann to work on that and to see how many people have something like that that we can look at and compare to, is this viable, is this reasonable? Because I think that, yeah, there is, but we don't want what you talked about probably, which is somebody hiring a spot, I think. I don't know, still have to talk about that some more. So, and businesses? Lots. The problem is, you know, that's the best question. Why are we doing this, John? I'll tell you why we're doing it. Because there's 6 beauty parlors in people's houses that are complained about on a regular basis. One of them because of noise, and a bunch of them because people who have commercial don't think they should be allowed to do that. I don't know about that one. You know, that's one of the problems we have. We also have people who maybe are working outside of what's allowed, and then we're talking code enforcement. I don't even want to go there. Yep. Mm-hmm. Which is a commercial property. Correct.
So if you want to look at that for residential areas, you got to look at commercial areas that don't have access to those people spending. And what is that going to play even to what he said, to what I'm saying?
That is. Okay, so why, what makes that change? And then you're talking about what's in a commercial zone, what's required, and what's not. Now, sometimes there are some things, I believe, grandfathered in because they haven't done the upgrades. As soon as you replace all the... Or if there's complaints, or complaint-driven. Unless you're a government building. That's a great question. Good. Yeah, and see, so you probably, Jake, missed the days of Mike Crozier. And anything that wasn't built up to those standards got a complaint. You know, which, that's not necessarily good or bad, it just is. You know, and to create the change.
You take a liberty, which you set off of that, bring it over here, but it's hard work. But so, there's nothing, there's something else we figure, once it's figured out, then yeah.
Good question. Yeah, unless you're a government building. Actually, the most, some of the most controversial issues were the ones right at the beginning of this. You probably saw that too. For example, clearly incidental to the use of the dwelling. And again, this kind of goes back to, you know, how you would separate the building versus, you know, this is a business, this is a residence. And in the case of many places, Othello being one of them, they don't want that. They don't want a separation from business to residence. It's supposed to flow. If you are in a residential business, they want it to look like the area is residential, not a commercial side to a residential business. And I don't think that's a bad. Comment, anyone? The majority of the cities have that. It's actually really shocking how many cities have the exact same code and definitions with just a little tweaks. But that's one of the ones that isn't universal, but it's 75% of the cities have that. That if you're going to be, if you're in a commercial, you got, well, you know, totally different set of circumstances. Some of these things are exact. And the ones that don't have clearly incidental have must not change the residential character of the building, which to me is the same thing. So I think that's the language. Interestingly enough, Othello has both those things in it. So we maybe only need one of those two terms in there to kind of clean up the language a little bit. And Othello follows it up with, no change to the outside appearance of the building as well. Three things that say the exact same thing. So, I mean, this is an area where we need to clean up the language. And must not, what? Oh gosh, yeah, there we go. No outward appearance of a business. And this is, like I said, it's across the board, but unfortunately, Othello has all four of those statements in there when one says it all. So we're going to have to clean that up, I think. I mean, that's consistent. Every city has it, just worded four different ways, but not Othello. We did all four. In 1995, they wanted to make sure you understood what you're getting yourself into. I'm going to go tell Lolo that. Okay, that's coming up. Almost all of them also have must not infringe on the rights of neighbors to enjoy peaceful occupancy of their homes. That's another one of those 70% ones. Is that enforceable other than maybe complaints for noise and mm-hmm. So if it has that, then that would be a must not infringe on the right. Is it necessary to have must not and right and infringe neighbors and to enjoy a peaceful homes when you have that other statement of, so this should be an excluded statement as well? Yeah. Get rid of it. It's kind of the way I see it too. You know, you see some of these that just don't really. So what we're going to do at the next one, like I said, we already hit some of the controversial ones. We're going to get to signage, which is probably the next controversial one, and then clean up language. I think is going to what's going to be a lot of our process at the next meeting. Signs. Othello allows 1 square foot. Most other cities allow, well, that is by far the most restrictive signage. Most other cities allow at least 2 square foot. Some allow up to 4. One, I think, had it at 6, which, yeah, that was Wenatchee allows up to a 6-foot sign mounted on the building. So, signage. Any thought, Brian? I think 1's small. I don't like 1. John? I know that sounds goofy, but...
Along those same lines, we do allow, like, neon lights over...
Non-illuminated.
Yeah, the broken post.
Non-illuminated is across the board.
Well, I mean, during the daytime, though...
I would say, that's a great question, actually. That's actually a good question. I love that question. Disallowed. And the reason why it's disallowed, why nothing can be illuminated like that, is because the only reason to have an open sign is to increase clients. That's not the intent of those types of home occupations. I would say disallowed. I'm not sure by appointment only, but definitely not random. I mean, unfortunately, an open sign allows for random, and I don't know if that's a good idea. You're going to be having a lot more traffic that way. So I'd still have it not. I wouldn't allow any illuminated signage. In home occupations, because like I said, I think it controls it. That was actually a really good question. I'm still stuck on 2 foot or 4 foot. Without illumination. You can't even have a light on it. That's not allowed either. I mean, that's across the board on everybody's option. That's really where I'm at, is 2 feet or 4 feet. Jake, you got any? Don't care?
4 feet.
4 is pretty big. What is 4 foot? 4 foot, square foot. That sign, that is the city... That's about 4 foot, isn't it? Square foot? Yeah.
2 by 2.
Is that 2 by 2?
No, 4 square feet is 2 by 2.
No, I'm talking about...
This is 21 inches, so if it's 24, this...
So, no, what I was talking would be the 4 square foot, wouldn't that be the sign next door? Yeah. Oh, at 16 square feet.
Yeah.
I want a bare minimum of 4.
So it's like four of those put together, right? Like that size?
No, it'd just be 1. So now the 6 foot sign is a little bit better. I don't mind having a little bit bigger sign that's mounted on that. That's actually not a bad comment. So you think a little bit? Yeah, no, you're good, John. You're good. Thank you. This is like I said, we're all brainstorming anyway. It's bigger. How much bigger than the little sign? Well, that's not too bad. 3 inches wider, 4 inches deeper, or longer? 5 inches. That probably gives adequate space to get, for, again, home occupation, kind of let you know you're in the right place. I mean, ultimately, that's what you're getting. I'm in the right place, but you're right. That you want room to have. I mean, God. I don't think that's bad.
1 square foot is...
1 square foot's stupid.
You can't see it. I don't know.
1 square foot's stupid. And I'm not even sure two is even reasonable when I just saw what 4 square feet was. 4 square foot's got to be the minimum.
Well, you don't want someone's wall, exterior wall, to be like a billboard.
Yeah, you can't let, I think that becomes problematic too. I mean,
it's still a neighborhood.
It's neighborhood, so. Yeah, 4 foot. What do you think, Jake? 4 foot? 4 foot. That's an easy one. I like that. No, I like four. I think 4 foot. I think two looks a little small. I mean, I'm looking at, and I liked what Jake's point was too. Hey, you might have to have two languages on there, you know, so people can understand where they're going. That's legit. So I agree with you on that. I think that. Oh yeah, that too, man. Yeah. So you need that space. Yeah, I like four. I like a little extra space just in case. You don't have to make it 4 foot square foot, but if you need to, not a bad idea.
I've done a lot of advertising in the late
90s. I actually thought we were gonna fight over this one a lot more, but that shows how much I know.
One
pill's
ridiculously small.
One is ridiculously small.
So you can't have it out in your yard.
Nope. It's got to be connected.
Waving,
nope.
You know,
can't be an advertisement.
It has to be literally against the exterior wall.
You can't have the open sign, nothing illuminated, mm-hmm. because again, it's you're not looking for random traffic. Yeah. You're looking for. How about number of clients? But what if, okay, let's say like you have a beauty salon. You have one at a time. Can you have a waiting room? Can you have a waiting spot for the next assigned person? This is gonna come into play on what you deal with. I don't know how you don't. Right. Well, you're limited to your space, but so like you got an office space, you're, like was mentioned, a lawyer, an accountant. That's where we're going to go next, is if that happens. We'd have to have, I'm not going to say it. Are we recording? I'm not saying nothing. Okay, so I'm going to go back now to your one client at a time requirement, and that is what's currently in Othello's code. So,
okay.
If we do one client at a time,
you're a bookkeeper, and
I love this.
A couple wants to come and talk about their taxes.
That would be one client.
One client.
Just one client.
Two people, one client.
Well, yeah.
Some of them say up to four people in a car. I'm going to come in one car.
Okay.
And then one client.
Okay. If we do it one client at a time, which I'm not against, that means it's one parking spot. That's the only thing. If we do it one client at a time, technically we can really only require one parking spot.
One off-street parking spot.
Yep. I'm okay with that too, actually. I like off-street parking, don't get me wrong. I think that's an important thing to value, but at some point it gets a little goofy, and making somebody have three parking spots for their accounting practice and might be a little overblown. So the question then is, Bob, by doing the one client at a time, does it become self-limiting in the business occupation within a residential zone? It's definitely going to control the amount of traffic, which is kind of what you want. Yep, which is kind of what you want for a residential zone. I'm not sure that's not a pretty good rule. It's probably why if you look, I'm not doing a good job. We're on page 10. I'm sorry about that. If you look, almost all of them have, you know, one client at a time, limit one per appointment. Some have no more than, you know, limit of services per day, but pretty much across the board, it's one client at a time. I think that's a great. Well, it's going to be code enforcement, but I think this is the, I think if you, it's going to be complaint driven. Like if there's 10 cars parked out in front of somebody's business, there's going to be a complaint. I can just about guarantee it. And I think that if you only provide one off-street parking spot, occasionally, yeah, you're going to probably have two people that show up similar times. And you're going to have someone parked on the road, but if that happens occasionally, I don't think there's going to be much problem with that. So when it happens all the time is where there's going to be complaints. That's what I think. I could be wrong. I don't think two vehicles showing up occasionally. Other than we're going to have to talk about, again, you probably got, if you're going to hire an employee, you're going to have to provide a parking spot for them. That's a separate parking spot. Then you're going to have, well, not three, two. Because yourself, you're covered as a resident. But if you hire an employee outside of the residence, probably going to have to provide a parking spot for them. And the same thing for the guests. I mean, what we don't want is the whole front yard filled up with parking spots. That gets stupid. Yeah, that's where. What's that?
How would that still look if people were...
It looked like garbage. I mean, I don't think we necessarily... That was very inappropriate of me to say it looked like garbage. But it doesn't fit the intent of what's been done. For instance, I apologize for saying it looks like garbage. Shouldn't have said that. I didn't catch myself all the times. But I think with what is the intent of residential areas currently in Othello, front yards are part of that. And so, you can't cover more than 50% anyway. So, you know, like I said, I want people to have the opportunity if they want to use it.
So, what's the max on an average yard?
50%. Code says you can't cover more than.
No more than three vehicles?
I don't think that. I think it depends on where your front yard. I mean, if you're set back. Right. Oh, mine. Mine is, I have three cars on my driveway, but that's because I have the space to have three cars on it. Grass is not allowed. Has to be on improved surface. Oh, dude, hey, let me tell you. We have that code in place with because of exactly what you said. You don't want over coverage, you don't want all those things, because having cars on the grass causes impact potentially to neighbors' values of their houses. That's why we have that code. Now we can have a debate about the enforcement of that, but that's not me. that's you know, we just tried to do the best we can to protect the people so they have an opportunity that they feel that their rights have been infringed upon, you know, and the keeping the value of your house is a right, you know, and whether that needs to be enforced or not enforced, you know, that is beyond our purview. We can just put the code into place to try to give people fair and equal opportunity. I think, what do you think? That's a pretty good one. Yeah, sweet. I'm going to move on So we're seeing one client at a time. And that kind of locks in the parking situation too. I'm liking this better. And I know where John was coming from, but think tanking is not necessarily his favorite thing. I'm moving on. Retail. So we're going to move to page 11. Retail. I like East Wenatchee's as opposed to ours. Retail is outright prohibited. In East Wenatchee, it is prohibited except in cases that it is supported by the service within the business. Are you reading it that way?
Yes.
That's what I read too. I thought East Wenatchee's was better than ours. Yeah, it just doesn't, it doesn't make sense to say you can have your barber shop, but you can't sell. Another one.
Yep.
I do too. I think if it's in support, I mean, like you said, not random, it's your clients. Good with it. If you're making wood figurines? I can't see.
Like a demonstration, I think we're trying to say is like someone would have called the business rather than the wood shop. Yeah, like order a birdhouse, will it be done within a certain amount of hours? Kind of taken at that time when it's finished. Yeah. So let's say.
I don't think it's up. Yeah. I don't think this is a home occupation.
It's going to be done within 2 hours. So I come and pick it up at business spot, right?
But what if he has, you know, six different ones sitting on a truck and they want to come and choose one?
Well, those six could be already digitally seen via internet and not video.
I love what this is where I think that what you just described
right.
is so not a home occupation.
Right.
So I don't think it's a home business. I think it is, and it's no different than I think how I would see, like I said, you know, if you did it on the internet, if you sold it, I just don't see this happening beyond occasional, unless somebody has a promoted business, at which case it's an internet business and it's not a home occupation. It is an activity that they're selling. Would they just come in?
Yeah.
Why would they do it?
You got to think of the customers coming to get to them just to see it when they could just see it with the staff on the picture.
And buy
it. You know.
That's a great question. That what you just said was probably goes right down to it. Is retail's banned? So what you just described was a retail activity. What Jake's talking about is not retail. He is selling. It's a retail activity that happens on the internet. They're totally different beasts. So in home occupation, yeah. Occasionally, though, they will, and that's okay too, though.
Yeah.
The occasional show up to the metal shop and get your, you know, your custom laser welded, you know, name thing that you're going to put on your house that took 3 months to make, fine. That you bought at whatever craft show or fine. I don't think we should be regulating that in any way. But if we prohibit retail sales except for those that support professional services, I think that covers it.
That works, that would get a comment in for, that would just bottom line, and using instructor and.
Yep, in fact, it encourages people to do just that, to take those items somewhere else to be sold, where they can be seen. So that covers, that fixes, and it incubates a business opportunity without squelching it. We're getting better at this, guys. Wait, Brian, you heard that?
Sounds good to me.
I thought it might be. And if you got a bail, like I said, this is all, this is just think tanking so I can make the next meeting a lot better. The traffic rules they have in place are almost consistent across the board, and it's no more than what would be expected in a residential neighborhood. So probably leave it in there, just so it's better defined, so people know that that's the expectations of their business. They're not going to be bringing a lot of people to and fro to come into the place. Parking, we already covered. We have one client, so therefore, gotta have a parking spot, off one parking spot. And if you have employee, if you have to add one for employee. I thought we were gonna fight over that one a lot more too. Here we go. This, remember those five earlier that I said, I don't think we need? This is the one we need. On page 13, noise, vibration, glare, fumes, odor, and electrical interference. No equipment or process which creates noise, vibration, glare, fumes, and odors or electrical interference detectable to normal senses off the lot, and no impact on audio-visual interferences for TVs, radio receivers in neighboring premises, or fluctuations in line voltage off the premises. I think that actually covers everything. Those five earlier ones, I think this is a better definition, explanation of what's not allowed. So when you talked about your auto repair, not allowed. Not allowed there. What's that?
What if somebody was using a weed whacker?
Not a business. No. You can mow your lawn.
No, well, maybe what if that was it?
That's a different code.
What do you mean? Like your business was, so, okay, so you're a lawn person.
Yeah, just a fixer, like a maintenance on you.
Since it is not done, okay, repair, okay. So that's where this gets we may have to have some definitions on some of this stuff. And this is when we go back to applying what comes into this. At what point does noise become a nuisance? Does the city already have a noise nuisance law? Doesn't matter where they can enforce it, they have it.
Keep in mind that all electrical and radio and audio devices come with an FCC sticker that states that it will have interference of any radioactivity or any electrical. It states that on all devices.
So in other words, electrical, you don't have to worry about. Electrical repair, you're saying it's out. Not a problem. So that takes care of that. That should be allowed already. Small engine's going to be our tough one. You think small engine? No. So where should small engine repair happen? If you have a shop, like we've talked about earlier, in the back of your place, and you're doing small engine repair in that shop for clients, is that a home occupation?
Well, I don't, but I
I don't know. I'm just trying to find definitions of where that line gets. How, I think that going back to the thing that Jake said about the electrical, for the most part, appliances are going to fit under that definition of electrical and not come in conflict here. Auto repair, I think, will. Small engine repair, might. Where you at, Brian?
Who's that guy on 15th? That's, you know,
Toll. Everett Toll.
Everett. He fixes, he tunes up lawnmowers.
Tunes up lawnmowers, and he's on 15th, so he's in town. So.
You know, it's making noise.
Is it too much?
Have there, I guess I'd be curious if there have been complaints from the.
Yeah, you got oil, you got, I mean, that's by definition. What do you think, Jake? Small engine. I like the electric, I think the electrical is good. Small engine, I'm, what do you think? Allowed. Kind of, I'm there. Where are you at?
I feel like, I don't know anyone that's doing it, that's how they make a living. I think it's kind of on the side, doing it as like a side business. And I just don't hate to use a service like that. But I don't know if there's been complaints.
Well, one would imagine if that person wants to work on that type of machinery, they're just okay with
it's what they can.
This is what you're going to hear. This is what you're going to smell and whatever. As long as they're coming with that and accepting that, then you shouldn't be in the problem with
it. Yeah, but that's where it gets a little hinky, because it's when they don't. You know, then what's the rule? So you got to make it for the worst case scenario, not the best case. You know, the best case is you build a shop that's noise proof. You can do whatever the heck you want. Now, auto repair, I think it's going to be tough to. I still think that one's a tough one to pull off. I think there's a lot more, which also comes into play on small engine, is the amount of noise out of the ordinary in comparison to somebody who's mowing their lawn up and down the block. I don't know. I'm stuck on this one. Is it out of the norm? How much noise goes into tuning those things? How much?
It'd be the noise of running a lot of.
I can't believe that small engines are going to be the thing that kicks our butt. It really is, though, because you're right. There is noise generation with that. Is it excessive? Yeah, which we aren't going to complain about that either. Right.
So what data do you have? Versus.
Well, so here's the thing. This is where it gets weird. Okay, if you go work on your car in the garage, no problem. If you have a business working on cars in your garage in the commercial zone, kind of a problem. And it's probably frequency and noise and things that go on with it, I think. Well, if you use the noise ordinance as your base, it's probably the small engine's okay, but we're gonna need some expert opinion on this one.
I think
this is the one we're gonna get input on.
Yeah.
I think this. Oh yeah, for sure. But I mean, this is the stuff that I'm gonna have Ann do the research on. When is noise too much and when is it not? You know, the guy cutting hair next door that, you know, runs his music at 11 might be a problem too. Actually, that's one of the complaints. It comes from a guy who's cutting hair in his garage with Apparently, he really likes tunes.
Someone can hear Larry Neasy compared to...
Fine.
...the high school playing the band out loud and, you know, or they have their super speakers that play music and...
Oh, dude, don't even get me started.
I think the line comes into when is it a home occupation and when it's not? And frequency. Frequency probably, yeah.
That's true.
I think this is the one we're gonna have to get some, this is when we need Ann. So Ann, since this is recording, small engine, we need you. That's what we're gonna lean on you for.
Something else on these, I see dust a lot, and we live in a dusty place. I wouldn't want my neighbor causing a bunch of dust that comes to my home in my place.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's infringing on your rights. Yeah. That's infringing on your freedom and your ability to, you know, that's how I kind of look at it. God, a small engine one is a tough one for me. Huh?
Yeah, all the rest of them pretty much.
You know what though? What's interesting on that? Man, the small engine one's tough. Think about this, Bob. They're not having clients come into the house. They're not doing the business. Somebody calls them and drops off something to get worked on. Oh, God. I mean, really, by some of the other things we said earlier, that's not a home occupation. I don't know. Oh, man. Do we let that one just... And... We're calling you, Ann. This is the one you're going to help define for us. Yeah, that ain't going to happen then. It definitely ain't happened at the tolls place, I can tell you that right now. Yeah, but I mean, like I said, we said you could do the woodworking thing, you could do the metalworking thing. You know, at what point does it become a problem? The same thing, you know, you have your home office for your appliance repair, but you're probably going into somebody's house to fix up their refrigerator or their dishwasher or their, so it's probably, those are probably okay, but it's probably goes sideways when you're doing it, you know, 8 hours a day at your house.
Yeah,
frequency. Then you got a problem. Right. We're gonna have this. See, this is the one we're gonna have to work on. See, found where one of the darts hit.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone comfortable with the rest of that? Dust. I'm going to say we've got to figure out the noise thing. That's coming up. Next page. Oh God, we're almost at 8 o'clock. I didn't even realize we went this far. I thought this was going to take like 45 minutes. I totally agree with you. I disagreed with John, but that's okay. I just agreed with him, and yeah. Anyway, outdoor storage. It is allowed in a lot of them. It's not allowed in Othello.
So it says no outdoor storage. And then when it says yes, that means...
I don't know what that...
That means they don't allow outdoor
storage. Oh, yeah. Almost all the cities. Take that back. All the cities except us. Don't allow outdoor storage.
What does that mean? Stuff just sitting there on the lawn, out in the front.
I just don't even understand what you would store.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't have retail, I mean, if you're gonna store the stuff that you use in the business, you're probably going to store it inside the 300 feet or 30%. Well, yeah, well, so do we say no to the storage or?
Outdoor storage, no outdoor storage. If they want to store it, that's being a shed out there.
So you could build a shed to put it in?
I think so. And that will be said.
We haven't really defined it.
But you're not doing the business in the shed. You're just storing stuff.
We said you can't do the business.
I'm not saying you can't, but I'm just saying that that's not.
But I think that's a shed.
Like if it was just Tesla laptops that we have containers next to the residence or a shed, I can't stack six or eight of those.
I got this.
Yeah,
I got this.
How about this? Storage consistent with residential code. You can build a shed. I could build a shed if I want to. Yeah. Storage allowed as allowed per residential code. So required storage? Oh, no. I guess I'm not understanding what outside
structure.
Oh. Okay. I got it. Now I'm with the program. So we are requiring storage.
Outside the shed.
Storage is. I'm serious. What do you think? Do we even need it? I can't see what we what would need to be stored. It's kind of my thought. That's what I said. Oh, you don't want that. That's not good. No, if it's a shed, it wouldn't matter. That doesn't count. That doesn't count as a residence. That's the same thing like back to the birdhouse thing. Make as big of a shed as you can allow to fit on your property within coverage things and knock yourself out. Make as many birds. You know, since it's not really considered a home occupation where you're retailing, selling it out of, I don't think it matters. Now, the storage thing I'm still struggling with because I agree, you don't want materials kept in the front yard. You don't want a whole bunch of, like if it was, but now how do you, I don't even know, this is a tough one. This is actually tougher than I thought it was going to be. No outside storage actually is probably about the only way you could do it. I'm not finding anything else that pops into my head. You can't have items.
Okay.
So I don't even know, like you said.
2x4s in the backyard, do we care?
No. I hope not. I got a bunch of 2x4s in the backyard right now.
No outside storage.
Well, I'm not selling anything.
Okay.
So. I'm still having trouble with this one. I do understand the no outside storage because you would worry about somebody stacking 10 wash tubs outside. I could see that.
Or a bunch of appliances.
Is there already code And do we already have code that prevents that? Outside? No. On the front yard? No way. Huh? Well, I mean, like I said, small appliance repair. God, you just wouldn't think it would be left outside, though. I'm struggling. It is the only thing I can see somebody doing. This is where my internal struggle is. My personal opinion is this is probably not necessary. But the times I could see it becoming necessary is if somebody kept a bunch of old refrigerators for spare parts for stuff they're doing. How would you manage that? And whether they were doing it as a business or not doing it as a business. I mean, what is there something that manages that already or not? I don't know. That's where I'm having my right now. This is where I'm going. Because my one side is, I don't think this is necessary. I just can't see it happening. But the other side is, the only way I could see it happening is somebody doing something like that. I'm going to, you know, I do repair, so I'm keeping some old refrigerators around. Well, if that's the case for your business, I'd rather you. But if they weren't doing it for their business, they just did it. They could have them in their backyard and... I'll deal with them later. Yeah. What? Any thoughts, Jake? Are you stuck like I am?
Like I said, it just depends on the material.
Where you?
I agree with that. I think it should be enclosed.
Does our code already do it?
I think so.
I think our code already covers this. I really do. And we need to know if our code and covers storage, so we don't have somebody with 10
washing machines.
And you got a question on the chemicals and fumes and liquids on the refrigerator.
Yeah, refrigerators, that'd be a problem. Yeah. Washing machines, it wouldn't. But God, why would you store them in your backyard for extra parts? Tubs? Hopefully we have code that prevents that already. If we don't have code, then we got to come up with something that, if it's related to a business, it has to be stored. I'm sure. I'm sure. And you're going to do the research on the storage and why it's there. Thank you.
Let's get some information on that one for the next meeting, because I'm not able to wrap my head around it that well. And is Moses Lake one of them? Yep, good. That'll be an easy one to get. Ah, okay, I'm going to do, am I done? If y'all don't mind, it's just two more things. I don't care about the other. We'll talk about the other with the other people. Operating business hours in residential zone. Keep that in mind. I think that makes it different than commercial. 7 to 7? Think about it as daycare, too.
Oh, yeah.
7 to 7?
5. What if you get to drop your kids off because you're going to work in 5?
5 a.m.?
Yeah. I know a lot of daycares drop their kids off.
Got separate rules.
Okay.
I don't think the start time is nearly, okay, residential zone. Let's think about it this way. Here I've been putting these rules out here, and then I didn't even follow. Residential zone, all right? And we're concerned about traffic and what things are going on there. Now, daycare is daycare, different set of things. So when you start seeing clients, when you have people driving into the neighborhood, how early is too early and how late is too late? For me, 7 to 7 fits. I think after 7, you start encroaching on too late for that business, for the business types. And before 7, could be annoying. Jake's thinking. I could see it. Where you at, Jake?
So what is the business that I would do?
What do you mean? I think it's seeing clients. Like if you're in, like if you're in your office and you're working on stuff, you know, but you could, okay.
He brought up a good one. Let's say like you're gonna have massage therapy. And could, you know, could you see clients after 7? Probably.
When is it too late? Is 7 o'clock too late? After 9 o'clock, I think it's too late in a residential.
We have noise ordinances too, right?
Yeah, but you're again, you're trying to manage traffic. You're trying to give an opportunity. Do we just follow the same rules as what we did in commercial?
So right now we have no code for operating hours.
None.
Is there any time break for parking?
As long as you have it, you're fine. It's just. I guess if it doesn't generate, maybe we don't need business hours.
I'm curious if we've had complaints about this.
What if somebody who works during the daytime and only eventually at
night? Yeah, somebody who's working graveyard probably is like, 7 to 7, you guys suck.
maybe we don't need business hours. God, you think of the business hours would be self-regulating by the business time.
I'm curious to know if there's complaints.
I can't believe we're going to table business hours. But I do like your point. I almost like, I don't know if it's even necessary. I can't see where, at what point. I'm not sure what would matter. Who'd it bug?
It gets pretty silent, hardly get the cars passing by,
so I kind of think Othello's the same way. Pretty much, except when there's shift changes.
Except for the gas station.
They don't count. I don't know. Do we need business hours? Yeah, but that's because we had the commercial with the intention of the commercial, you know, and you're right. We also have that retail option. Yo, without that, I don't even know if it's necessary. It might be necessary. And I think this is one where we do need the whole commission or a lot of, at least a quorum to have the discussion. On 7th, no, you can go to 10. Didn't we go to 10 o'clock?
I think so.
Yeah, it's 10 o'clock. So you can go to 10 o'clock on 7th. I don't mind that. I'm not sure that's a problem. I don't know if that's a problem. Do you?
I don't know. I want to know if there's been complaints, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, in some ways, think about this, though, Bob. At first I was like, that sucks. But then I did think about the guy on graveyard shift. When the heck does he get his services done? I mean, when he's sleeping or the. Well, right. But that's, I mean, that's one side of it. But I don't know if it impacts the neighbors that much if somebody's cutting hair at 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't think it's going to happen very much. I can't think of very many business types that's going to be good, but I can think of a client-based, you know, it might actually, especially if you're, you know, if you're working a shift somewhere, you know, that might impact what you can do. I don't know. That's kind of a tough one. I think we're gonna have some debate on this one. I didn't think we would. I don't disagree. But in our other commercial zones, 7th is the only one that I think has a limitation. So if you do it on Main Street, 24/7. So. Well, that's, I mean, random, no. It would be, again, client-based. Right, other than the amount of traffic. Yeah, this is actually kind of a tough one.
You know, is from the client-based standpoint, does it even matter? I don't know yet. Jake said no. He's like, nope, doesn't matter. I'm not disagreeing. I haven't decided yet. I could see on a client-based standpoint, if you're not generating, I mean, we're managing traffic, it's going to be a good debate at the next meeting. Guys, we are 10 minutes after 8 o'clock, which I did not expect this meeting to go even close to. However, I think that we made the dartboard a whole lot smaller. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
I think in another hour, we could knock this thing down and be done with it. Well, if one of the things that is on, one of the things that once we come up with this, I think within, you're right, within the next half an hour to an hour, we could have probably knocked out, and we have already knocked out most of what that code would look like. If you could put up real quickly for last week, the next page on the thing, these are business types that were allowed and not allowed by their code. This is the kind of stuff that we would do next time to see if our code stands up to intention. Does our code as written stand up to the intentions we're trying to accomplish? There are some things on these business type lists we want to allow probably. And there are some things we probably shouldn't be done in a commercial, in a residential zone. So when does that make sense and when doesn't it make sense? And that's what we're going to compare to. For example, a cafe, no. That is not a commercial activity. Or that is not a residential activity. But a barbershop probably is. Barbershop probably is. And so that's what we got to make sure our code stands up to that challenge. So that's what we're going to do next time. And then hopefully make a recommendation to council. All right. Thank you guys all for giving a lot. I really appreciate it. Yeah, no kidding. Everyone contributed. Even John before he got mad. No, that's me. No, that's me. Thank goodness. I knew where John was coming from, but John. I've seen, you know, some of the other meetings that I go to, he kind of gets that point. I'm done talking about this. Well, I'm not.
This conference is no longer being recorded.